Science Heroes, Season 2, Episode 50. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I play Geesh, the human fighter paladin.
Hello! My name is Molly, and I play Eden, the noble human sorceress slash wizard.
Hello, I am Alex, and I play Dupe, the dwarf fighter.
Hello, my name is Amanda, and I play Galena, the dwarven bard.
And I'm Winter, and I play the elf druid Sariel.
And last time on Sometimes Heroes, you did some stuff. Does anyone want to recap that for me?
We gave manicores scritchies, and that's all that matters.
True.
Good game.
Dat.
And now those manicores will die.
No, shut up.
So in addition to getting a couple of manticore mounts, one of those manticores is now blind and deaf. They are both, I believe, in pretty bad shape. What else happened?
The big ancient black dragon told Eden that its body has been corrupted and it needs its kin for something or other. I don't remember. You chose very specific words, so you have to say them, James. The girls played slash fought with the Nilbog.
Oh, yeah. Everybody took a swing at the Nilbog.
I am lodging protests with this slander. I did no such thing.
Oh, okay.
That's right. No, you didn't. You did. The others
didn't. Neither did Geesh, but he wasn't there.
And then the Nilbog made Eden critically fail, which for some reason affected her chaos magic.
Oh, yes. Temporarily reverted her back to her old class. Yes, that was just me being a jerk GM.
It's okay.
And now she's phasing into the ground?
Mm-hmm. You are one with the earth.
Hey, James, I have a question.
Go for it.
How come we haven't been having to do them wisdom saves for things looking at us?
Oh, I should have made that more clear last time. No, you're all right. You're okay. The moment the Empress came down with her giant mirror above her, this thing was staring up both at itself and her and nothing else. Its attention is fixated on something it can't understand and something that is very powerful. So you guys are okay for the moment, unless for some reason you guys draw its attention.
Time to go punch it.
Yeah. You guys ready to go?
Really quick out of character. Molly, you have yet to inform me or anyone else what the dragon said.
That's true.
Now doesn't seem like the best time.
It is dying, though.
I want to emphasize the urgency that this dragon was like, I'm gonna flip the table. And by that, I mean, like, flip this tectonic plate, maybe.
Okay, well, if Eden is becoming one with the ground at this point, really, I guess all she can do is scream into the void, the dragon's gonna flip over everything and flip over the tectonic plate and destroy things, and it's gonna be really bad.
Yes, you can say all those things because you have mushrooms and they can telepathically tell your party.
Perfect.
Also, I'm going to say you have basically swim speed in the earth, or you can use your move to crawl back out.
Swim speed doesn't really sound ideal.
It's basically half of your normal speed.
I think I'd rather just crawl back out, to be honest.
Okay. You will have your chance. Geesh, you are up. You are currently surrounded by 3 kobolds and the hand of the Empress. One of the usually invisible bodyguards who's swinging a big sword at you. And your back is up against your blind and deafened manticore friend.
This is terrible. All this is terrible. Well, I'm looking pretty beat up, so I'm going to use Second Wind.
Okay.
And I roll a 1d10 plus 9. Geesh is trying to deflect and getting hit. And what are these things? These are kobolds, and he's trying to parry kobold gnashes. And he gets a moment where he can just dig deep within himself and recover some health.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets back 12 HP, so that's 68. There we go.
Dope sauce.
Not as terrible. Oosh, gosh. Man, I really don't want this manticore to die, but I'm surrounded and I'm not going to make it unless I try and cut my way out. But I do have multi-attack. Only one spell left. Jeez, I don't have a whole lot of options. I'm surrounded. Isn't disarming? I don't think I could disarm this hand of Aramane. I'm pretty sure he's much beefier than myself.
A beefy boy? Possibly.
Yeah. Man, that's really bad. I guess I'm going to multi-attack this kobold, trying to make myself an exit if I can.
Well, do one attack at a time. Okay. So, which kobold are you attacking?
This one. Just to sort of get out of the fray and
give language that listeners can understand.
Sure, right. I'm going to attack the one that is, I guess, directly between me and girls on the street.
Okay.
So it's to Geesh's right.
All right, make one attack on Kobold. See if you can drop it in one swing.
All right, I rolled a 14.
You deal 12 slashing damage, and that kobold goes down, cut deeply in the body, and is laying there for a moment, bleeding out, little twitchy legs.
Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I don't want to give anyone an opportunity of attack. If I maneuver to over here, around this other kobold, will the Hand of Aramane and the other kobold attack me?
Yes.
Darn it. The kobolds that are attacking... Where's my ruler? Here we go. That are attacking the manticore. Like, mm-hmm. Right now on the map, it's 15 feet away, but can I say that it is on the manticore, so that's right next to me?
They are currently on the other side of the manticore. Basically, you're back-to-back, well, back-to-side with the manticore.
Okay, so I wouldn't be able to attack it without giving an opportunity of attack to my foes.
Yeah, you would have to reach attack, like, jump on the manticore's back, and that would provoke.
Opportunity attack. Okay. And I have not encountered this Hand of Aramane for a minute yet, so I can't do... Now you're an enemy, right?
Mm-mm.
I guess I'm going to have to keep attacking these kobolds, try and thin them out so I don't get torn to pieces.
Okay.
I will attack the kobold that's front and to the right, just so there's more space. Hopefully when the girls come in, they can rally to my aid.
All right, make an attack.
17.
Also hits. This deals 5 damage, and the kobold gets hit, cut deeply, and looks like it's near death, but is still up. And do you have anything else you can do this turn?
I almost want to use Action Surge, but I don't recall if I used Action Surge last game.
You have not yet.
I'll hold on to it. I'm not in such bad a shape that I feel I need to use it now.
Okay.
All right.
Sariel, you're up. You're standing next to your now dominated manticore, Galena on its back, Eden a few steps away. There's kind of like an Eden-shaped mound in the stone, and above it, kind of in a dancing on its grave style, is a goblin jester prancing around.
Oh no.
Don't mind me.
There's like an Eden-shaped statue on the ground. Am I understanding that correctly?
You saw her being subsumed into the ground, and you now know that she's down there, but she's still moving around. Like, the rock itself is raising and lowering with someone's breath.
Can I breathe?
And the arms are moving around.
Oh, that was going to be my next question, is can I breathe? Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. You are one with the stone.
Oh, great, great.
I feel like you're stealing my bit, Eden.
What do you mean?
Really?
Oh, right, because Geesh has them stone eyes.
Oh, right, that thing. Yep. Oh, did you actually have everything. An object nearby that you can... Oh.
No, that was me accidentally hitting a fork on a plate.
Oh, wow, that was great timing. I thought that Mark deliberately hit something with another thing as if to say ding, ding, ding.
Oh, no, that just seems to be noisy.
Sariel's gonna try to mushroom to Eden. Eden, are you okay?
I've been better. I am definitely still alive, but not great. Not terrible either. I mean, I've definitely had worse days.
Eden, as you are just having this mind-opening expansion of your senses into the stone around you, you feel like you really have a sense of where everything is in the city, the thousands and thousands of feet tramping, the parry and riposte of individual soldiers. It's pretty wild, but you also have the sense of impending doom of this black dragon about to flip the world.
Okay, number one, am I Toph?
Yes.
Temporarily.
Nice.
Eden, would you want to convey that we're all about to get tectonic plate flipped?
How big is this tectonic plate?
Wait, you're the rock person. You tell me how big a tectonic plate is.
Usually they're really big, and I can't imagine them flipping.
Basically, we're on the edge of cataclysm.
Like a San Andreas fault situation?
Well, at least
something like that.
This place is already a volcano. It's screwed. You don't need to split hairs about how screwed we are. We're dead.
Real screwed.
I will refrain from trying to analyze it further.
It's magic.
I have a quick aside. I have a geology professor who made a geology map of Middle Earth. A geologic map.
Oh, that's pretty legit.
That's awesome.
Okay. Molly, wait. Tell the dragon to get the kobolds on our side, I guess.
Hello, Mr. Dragon. I hope you're doing well. If you
That is
hear
a great plan. But, Eden, that's something great to do with your free action. Is tell Eden to talk to the black dragon. But what are you doing on your turn?
Now that I have communicated the thing, I just want to get out of here. Molly seems to be okay. She seems...
Eden.
I mean, Eden! That fourth wall breaking shenanigans.
Who's this Molly?
Right? reality is getting all warped. Things are coming through the dimensional portal. Now that knows Eden is good, Sariel's just going to want to get around this Radiant Warrior and over to Gige.
There's still room on the Manticore.
Oh, nice. Let's get on that Manticore. And I'm going to assume that Galena will not protest. Let's...
Wait, who's getting on here with me?
I am. Sariel.
Hey, girl.
Hey! let's get up to a decent height, higher than we saw Gige go, and try to get around... Uh-oh. Somebody's having technical difficulties.
Hey, okay, sorry. I'm here.
We're gonna take the Manticore, and we're gonna go save you. Maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah!
Let's go do that thing. That's the thing. That's so the movement.
You mount the Manticore and you shoot up in the air. How high above the Radiant Warrior do you want to go? Remember that Gige went 10 feet away and that was not far enough.
30?
Okay, so you guys fly up 30 feet and then 20 feet forward. The Radiant Warrior below you seemingly not reacting to that at all.
Nice.
It still stares forward, spear and shield in hand, glaring forward at now just the pile of rocks that is Eden and this little goblin jester.
That's cool. He can do that thing. So did the free action, did the movement, do I still have an action?
You do.
Do I need to touch people to heal them? You would think I would know this, like, 50 episodes in the second season.
You'd think. Cure wounds requires you to touch them.
Okay.
That's... Healing word is one that you have range on.
Gotcha.
I got the word.
I'm basically just trying to decide on my last action if I want to try to lob an attack or if I want to try to... Wow. I think I'm going to end my turn there. I can glow up the stick in preparation.
Do you want to take another move or possibly an evasive action?
Well, now that you've suggested it, evasive action seems like probably a smart plan or at least, you know, preparing to be evasive.
Right, because you are mounted. Basically, you are using the Manticore's move. So you take evasive action in the air. The hobgoblin with the mace and the silly hat look up at you with his fine robes and says, "Again, subverting our holy beasts." And he points up at you and says, "Better you die in the Empress's service than suffer the captivity of foreigners." And
Sorry, I have something I can do.
Do tell, he's about to cast blindness and deafness on your mount.
I'm gonna cast counterspell.
Dang, son.
Counterspell interrupts a creature in the process of casting a spell.
And the spell is of third level or lower, so it just fails and has no effect. What do you do? What does Galena do to interrupt this spell?
She just starts screaming at him. She's just like, no. That's how she interrupts it.
This guy's just too polite, and he's like, oh, wait, she's talking now.
That's how it works.
Okay, all right. Cool. So the spell fails. Galena, spend that spell slot.
Yeah, now I have no more third level.
He looks up as you're talking, and then he starts being like, "That was very rude to interrupt!" And starts stepping forward again.
I'm just gonna f*** with this guy now when it's my turn.
Eden, in the stone, now very uncomfortably close to you, feels like it's whispering in your ear, except it's roaring in your ear. You hear the eldest black dragon say, "That thing must not remain. If you cannot banish it, I will bury it under my bones."
Wait, I need you to specify what thing.
You can understand very specifically what it is saying. It is talking about the nameless hunger.
Ah, yes, that makes sense. Okay, noted. Thank you.
All right. It is the Hand of Aramain's turn. It is still flanking Gige, and it is going to make some attacks.
Yeah, time to get my butt kicked.
Does a 25 or a 13 hit your AC?
The 13 will not. The 25 should, but I would like to parry, right? Yes.
Okay, sounds good. And we messed up your AC last time. What is it, actually? It's not 20, it's...
I'm 22 currently.
22.
Because I'm wearing the full plate, I have the new shield, and yeah.
Yeah, you've got a beefy shield, which is plus one, mastercrafted shield, and you've also got protection specialty.
So 1d8 plus two. I rolled a 10. A full 1d8 plus two. Max, nice. Max wall on that.
You are going to block all the incoming damage, as he only rolled a 9.
Cool.
The Houndmaster, however, is going to crack its whip towards the red kobold crew, and they are going to make some attacks as they are driven on by his encouragement, and also attack you, Geesh, with advantage.
Right, right.
But neither of them are going to hit, as they got a 15 and a 14, as they are just piling onto you without any benefit because you are wearing full plate.
I'm in tank mode.
Geesh, I want you to roll luck, just a 1d20 base, as there is a blind and deaf manticore behind you that is thrashing around.
I rolled a 17.
The kobolds on the other side rolled a 7, so the manticore is going to make attacks that direction.
Cool.
It is going to roll a 20 with its bite, and a 17 and a 13 with its claw, and it is going to moidle one of the kobolds, and the other will be just severely injured as it thrashes around. And it is going to save versus being blind and deaf, and it is no longer blind and deaf.
Yay!
Yay, manticore friend!
This is
manticore
a real friend. Rough, this is a real rough episode for murder puppies.
Indeed. The tendrils are going to move around a little bit, but they are going to continue to be encompassing the Empress Aramane. It's Kobold's turn. There's not too many of them left. First, two of them are going to make additional attacks on Geesh at advantage. Neither of them hit. And the one remaining one is going to attack Manticore, regular, because he no longer has any support. That is going to hit, and he's going to do 7 additional damage to Manticore. The Jester is going to tap its cane twice on top of Eden's forehead, or Eden's bump in the ground where her forehead is hypothetically several feet below.
Oh, come on, man.
And as you guys are flying up on the Manticore, Galena and Sariel, it is going to basically Mary Poppins up to you.
Oh, shit.
And
do I still magically like this guy?
You don't magically like him. You just noticed one thing interesting about him and mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
And didn't murder him. But it lands behind you, Sariel, because you're now riding 3 astride. But it's very light, so it's not going to make any difference. Puts its scrawny little arms around your midsection and hugs you tight. And it says, sort of so quietly that you're surprised you hear it over the sound of battle surrounding this area and the yips of kobolds and the clash of metal between Geesh and this Hand of Aramane. But it says, "Little unwilling god, how will you fare under the weight of so many believers? I wonder if you will become my greatest foe yet. And I want you to make a wisdom save as it casts Vicious Mockery on you."
This guy's a dick.
Sariel rolled a 13 in wisdom. I no longer remember what a cess is.
Y'all are haxers. You've all rolled 13s on this guy, I'm pretty sure, and that's exactly the save. So it feels weird. You're aware enough, especially after witnessing this a couple times, that he is assaulting your mind in some fashion. And it brings to mind a bunch of images that are momentarily distracting and then put away of various followers you've met. Nail and Sneak. What was his name? Sneak? Sneak. Nail and Sneak. Their faces pop into your mind, but you quickly push them away before they distract you from the next moment. All right, Dupe, you're up.
Okie dokie. Let's run up to the monster.
You skedaddle on down to the next tier, where the tendrils are all coming out of the mass of flesh and reaching up into the sky. They are going to make a reaction attack against you as you enter their range. Does 16 beat your AC?
Nope.
All right. A tentacle, one of many, slams down right next to you, but you manage to just hop out of the way.
Yee, we tough boys.
Try to be. All right, time to attack. Rar.
Rar.
Where the hell is my weapon? Oh, there it is. 24.
You hit with a 24 and deal 17 bludgeoning damage, your hammer digging deep into the nearest tendril, and it seems like you've nearly torn it off, but there's enough tendril to keep it moving and attached to the larger pulpy sections above. But as you are beginning to pull it out, the tendril has little rays of light coming out from the entry wound, and the tendril explodes, but doesn't cover you in goo. It just immediately disappears as it separates from the rest of the body, as Godslayer banishes that section.
Hooray!
You have a momentary shot at the larger body as other tendrils quickly move to fill the space.
Yeah, let's do it. 21.
21 hits, and you deal 9 bludgeoning damage to the larger form, which feels like not a lot. Like you've just slapped off a wart on a large giant's face or something.
Is there still an opening?
There is, but it seems like it didn't have the same reaction. Like, Godslayer can only do this once a turn.
Oh no, that's not good.
Although, you realize you can't miss this thing.
That is good, but not as good as I had hoped. I'm just gonna end my turn there.
Okay. The Empress Aramane, through this break in the tendrils, she hovers above you, now completely visible for a moment, looks down at you, her eyebrows furrowed, the particulate of the nothing that listens still streaming up to her, and she gestures down to you and says, "Why do you struggle? Your flesh will fail, you mortal. And I want you to make a con save," as she casts harm on you.
Wait, me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Roll the 14.
Yeah, be tough. Dupe's getting tough in here.
The save you're looking for is 17.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, that was a shitty con save.
Yeah, surprisingly bad for you. And you take 14d6 damage.
Oh, f***.
Wow, Jesus. That is a lot of ones.
Oh, that was very lucky.
That's still a lot of damage.
Want you to take 39 damage.
All right.
As you just suddenly feel like all of the energy in your body fades away. I want you to write down in temporary HP where your HP is now, because you can't go above that.
Got it.
Okay, this is the end of the round. At this point, I'm going to give you a quick update on the battle around you. It seems like maybe half of Empress Aramane's air force has been taken down by arrows, black fletched arrows that Guige recognizes occasionally hurtling through the air, as well as some well-placed thunder waves as they dip through streets. You hear the loud krakow, and then one of these things hitting a roof rather than turning cleanly through a street. But at this moment, you hear all in your heads the mushrooms say,
Connor and Odette say they're both standing by to assist. Also that they're holding on, but it looks bad over here.
And at this moment, you guys can tap Connor or Odette to help you, but if you do so more than once, they cannot
die.
Focus on their own fight and end up dying. Yes. But Connor can cast a shield on you, drop a fireball, and Odette can snipe a fool.
Nice.
One thing you can also do is Lori left you all presents in your armor, and as a bonus action, you can pull them out. All right, Galena, it's your turn.
Okay, I cast Confusion on the Radiant Warrior.
On who?
The Radiant Warrior.
So, out of character, I want you to know that Sariel and Guige have already told you that the Radiant Warrior isn't a person. It's just a thing.
It's a fate construct.
He's a spell cast by the other priest.
Okay.
You should cast Confusion on the Nilbog.
I cast on the Nilbog.
The Nilbog, so right now you're sitting on the Manticore 30 feet in the air, and behind you is Sariel, and behind Sariel is the Nilbog. Confusion is an area of effect spell.
Okay, never mind.
Maybe not.
That would be hilarious. And I would love to see it happen, but it may not be the most beneficial strategic choice.
Just suddenly, me, Sariel, the Nilbog, and the Chimera are all freaking out.
Okay,
God. Okay. Does anybody need to be healed?
Each probably.
Dupe does.
Also, Dupe, definitely.
Don't do
it. Actually, wait, no. If we're being metagaming little shits, I don't think we can heal Dupe.
He's kind of far.
Also, I just want you to know that you can see the Empress right now.
How far is she?
60 feet away.
Okay.
And you're actually on level with her, because she's floating pretty high up in the air.
Oh man, I feel like whatever I do to her, I'll just end up dying. Okay. I'm gonna cast... Can I think about it for a second and...
You may delay your turn. That's a thing you can do.
I kind of want to delay, like, at least one or turns, because I gotta think again.
So nobody be confused when Galena is under Eden, even though Galena rolled a higher initiative. Eden, you're up.
Well, first things first, I need to make sure that everyone knows that our friend the Elder Black Dragon is planning to wreck some shit if we don't hurry up and deal with the nothing that listens. So, just thought everyone should know. Sorry to complicate things further, but he seemed pretty adamant.
True dat.
Also, he wanted to talk to his kin.
Right, that too.
Do you want to convey that or no?
Yes, I do.
Well, convey it, because the way you convey it is important.
Remind me exactly how he originally told me that.
Let's see if I remember. One of your party is my kin, and you should bring them to me so they may become my vessel.
Oh, right. Also, this seems pretty important. It turns out that somebody in our group is supposedly his kin, and he needs to hook up with you ASAP. Don't know who it is, though. So I guess we need to figure that one out.
Who's got some dragon in their ground? Maybe we should all go to the dragon, and then he can just figure it out.
Yes, let's all stop fighting and talk to the dragon. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that idea.
No, it's terrible. Yeah.
Anyway, I would also like to get out from under the ground, if I can.
You shimmy a little bit and pop your head out. It's weird because you're not breaking through the stone. It's like you're pressing against saran wrap a little bit. Oh. You just push hard enough and eventually your skin becomes flesh when it was stone.
It's like giving birth in reverse.
Yeah, but less gross or wet.
Right. Is that really all it takes? All I have to do is shimmy out?
Yep. Miracle of childbirth is... I shouldn't hate on it, I guess.
I really thought it was going to be a lot harder than that. That's wonderful.
Isn't this how golems are made? Don't you put the stuff in the ground and you bury it? Or am I thinking of something else? No, I'm thinking of homunculus. This is how homunculi are made.
Cool.
Isn't there more blood involved with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of weird stuff. But the homunculi go on the ground where the golem is activated by a scroll. I'm sorry, continue.
So, Eden, you're now above ground. You've, over the last turn, mentioned all this to your homies. The nearby walls are somewhat on fire. Your friendos have hopped over this angry radiant warrior with the manticore that was there earlier. And no longer is there a tiny jester to bother you.
Yeah, now it's with us.
Great, so who is around me?
You're kind of alone. I mean, maybe 50 feet down the road is a huge mass of citizens who are still fighting with the army.
Can I mushroom a question to Eden?
Sure.
I want to ask her if the dragon specified who or if she could ask so we could better determine who it could be.
Am I dreaming this or didn't I do that already? That would have been my first initial reaction was, okay, well, can you tell me who it is or like give me a hint or something?
I think, nope, now that I think of it, I'm pretty sure I just listened and like you didn't ask. It was one of those things that you were probably going to, but then it wasn't your turn yet. And you forgot when it came around.
Well, in that case, yeah, definitely. Hello. Hello, Mr. Dragon. I hope you're doing well. Hope everything's okay down there. just wondering, hate to bring this up again, but I just wanted to circle back on that rather big piece of news you had for me earlier, where you told me that somebody in my party is one of your kin. Do you happen to know who it is, or do you happen to know anything about this person that might help us figure out who it is? Any hints? Because that would be extremely helpful.
I like how eloquent you're being.
And this is all in battle, right? This is all in her 6 seconds, right?
All of it.
Yeah.
You're speaking Draconic and basically yelling it at a wall that is still standing and somewhat on fire. But you know, on the other side of it, you occasionally see a giant tail thrashing.
Mm-hmm.
You hear back, I could not remember. Even the earth could not remember all the mortals' names. It would be as if you asked me to remember every blade of grass.
Oh, well, there are only 5 or 6 other folks in the party. I mean, maybe
I can feel him. It is a male.
Oh, it's a him. Oh, okay. That definitely helps. Okay, good. That narrows it down somewhat. That's good. Thank you.
So I'm going to say you still have a bonus action because that was relatively long-winded amounts of talking.
Okay. Can I actually ask the dragon if he can help us out with the kobold situation?
Sure. What are you asking him to do?
Well, I was wondering if you don't have anything better to do, if you might help us out with a favor. You see, it would be really wonderful if we could get some of these kobolds out here on our side. That would just really possibly turn the tables in our favor, and it would really help us out.
So, okay, let's make that a persuade roll to see if you're able to make that short-winded enough that it can actually act on it sometime this fight, while still being as exceedingly polite as you were.
Oh, that wasn't great. Eden rolled a 10 in persuasion.
The wall that you're near gets pushed by an errant back leg and caves in near you, puts out the flame, but it seems like you just get a bunch of frustration and confusion from the dragon. Like,
so is that a no?
Not so much a no, but more a you must not have as good a grasp on Draconic as you are sort of feeling it out as you go.
Well, how discouraging.
Galena's writing in chat, to whom it may concern, dear dragon. all right, Galena, you're up, unless you want to move your round back one more.
So I figured out exactly, okay. So in character, this is what Galena would do, because there was something I wanted to do, but I think it will result in my near death or death. But in character, she would do this. So I'm going to, in order to do it, I'm sorry, this is like a big preamble. I'm going to talk to Sariel. Hello, Sariel. I would like some advice. I think it's a bad idea, but I think it might help the situation.
Guys, these rounds take 6 to 10 seconds.
Okay, Sariel. I have, you know what I did to Dupe? You know that thing I did? You know how I made
him
move?
This is what happens when you let them do it once.
Okay, sorry, you know what I did, Dupe?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think I should do that to her? And I point to the Empress.
I feel like Sariel's stunned silence alone would be 6 to 10 seconds.
Is it, maybe this is a good idea, stunned silence, or this is a terrible idea, stunned silence? You guys have been hanging out for a long time.
Yes.
I feel like it's that face Sariel makes when they propose something that's insane, but crazy enough to work.
Okay, Galena's like, you know what? Just move the manticore while I'm doing this. And out of character, that just means like in the next, her soon turn, she's going to rely on Sariel helping her not die.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to cast Dominate Person on, with my bloodbend powers, on the Empress.
What does that save again? Wisdom?
Oh, let me read this. Yeah, wisdom. Oh, lame.
The Empress Aramane, as you attempt to weave your magic around her, it appears that she is more resistant to magic than any mortal has a right to be. You identify that she has magic resistance, advantage on all saving throws against spells and other magical attacks. And she rolls a 19 in wisdom. I assume that's higher than your ability score?
Yeah, it's 15.
Her arm that was gestured out towards Dupe and is making Dupe stumble back and his guard lower gets pulled towards you as you try to do it, but she just like glares at you and jerks her arm back.
Okay, well, at least we learned two things. One, she's good at resisting magic, and two, she lost focus on Dupe for a second.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to do anything with your bonus action? Like inspire someone?
Oh, yeah, yes. That's what it was. Yes, I'm going to inspire Sariel to save our asses.
That's a good inspiration. Save our asses, Sariel.
Yep.
She you looking are at scared. Me.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm going to need that.
That basically, you get 1d20 roll. Wait, what does this mean?
Any 1d20 roll in the next 10 minutes, you can add a 1d8 on before the result D10. Has been declared. Oh, d10 now?
What? Yeah. Okay, I get it now. I should get it by now, but I don't.
All right.
Yes.
Geesh, you're up.
Ooh, buddy. Gosh.
Oh, and Galena will definitely have mushroomed like, oh, she's resistant to magic.
Well, I just use a sword, so all sorts of things happening. I guess, even though I probably won't use any bonus actions, Geesh will say, well, he's the big stony dragon. It's probably me. And he says this in the midst of like dodging and sticking his sword between the gnashing maw of the kobold.
Yep, big old draconic mouths. Chomp, chomp, chomp.
So, right, opportunity of attack is just a free attack, right?
Mm-hmm. You have hella high AC.
That's true. How much movement would it be to hop on to share the same space as the manticore? Because he's right next to me, like, does that just be 5 feet?
Are you mounting the manticore?
Yeah.
10 feet.
He's not blind anymore, right?
It is willing to be mounted now, even though it's currently like trying to keep a kobold from chewing on its tummy.
Sure. So I will hop on the manticore. I mean, there's going to be opportunity of attack on me.
Yep.
And I'm going to swing on the kobold that's currently attacking the manticore, but do those opportunities of attack. Oh, buddy. Oh, my God.
So, oh, wow. That's bad.
Yeah.
So one of the tame kobolds, right as you turn to jump onto this thing, grips onto your foot.
Oh, that's too punishing, James.
The hand of Aramane drives his sword deep between a shoulder plate.
Except I'm going to try and parry that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If an enemy critically succeeds, you better believe I'm going to expend a superiority die to parry that.
Okay.
1d8 plus 2, was it? I lose my parry. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, another 10.
Dang, son. Well, you're countering their crit rolls with your crit rolls. That's good.
So I feel that bite on my heel, and I'm like, son of a... And right as I turn my head, I see the blade is coming, and I just parry it.
Mm-hmm. You parry it to the side, and instead of getting between plates, it just slaps you really hard, but it's basically a mace the size of the sword he's wielding, mm-hmm. and still deals 8 damage, and the crushing feeling in your foot is 5 damage.
Okay.
So 13 total.
So was there a perk that I wasn't able to move, or am I actually on the manticore?
I think these are just going to be the damage, since okay. you parried one of them away, and you are on a large animal. But if you want to kick this manticore into action, it is going to have not its full move, and it is also going to take a opportunity attack from the nearby kobold.
Right, so I'm going to attack that kobold that's near him, just to try and clear that up.
Okay.
There we go. First one's a 24.
You lean down from horseback, like you trained to do against unarmored infantry, like a knight should, mm-hmm. and you just sever this thing's spinal column, and it collapses next to you.
Ooh. Wow, I didn't expect it to be that effective. How much movement do I have with the manticore now?
You've got 40 feet, but if you want to go to the dragon, you're going to need to fly by those guys again. Although they did just opportunity attacks you, so they've used up their opportunity attacks.
Okay, so they did use opportunity attacks. I'm just going to fly past them, and I'm going to hit the dragon. Not hit him, but go towards him.
This action scene that Guige is playing out is basically you are flying towards this, and these kobolds and the Hand of Aramain are turning to follow you. But right now, you are out of move, completely spent, maybe sure. 5 feet away from the dragon, still mounted.
Got it. I guess I complete... What? Can I use Know Your Enemy on the dragon to see how he's doing?
You saw this dragon jumping around before for a while, so mm-hmm. sure. You don't know how it's doing right now, but you know how it was. Doesn't seem like it's lost any legs or anything.
Oh, well, you know, knowing you know your enemy on him would be kind of stupid because he's a dragon. I'm pretty sure all his stats are higher than mine.
Yeah. Even his fighter level is higher than you, and he's not even a fighter.
Yeah. And I have not seen the Hand of Aramain or Aramain herself or any of her homies for more than a minute, right? Has it been a minute yet?
Maybe 30 seconds now.
Okay, then. I at least want to do a knowledge roll, and I'm trying to think if there's a good knowledge roll I could do.
There's lots of stuff going on.
Yes, there is. I'm failing to grasp what would be a good knowledge roll to do. Oh, so you said there was an item tucked in our armor?
Yeah, and as a bonus action, you can check, or you can call one of your allies to do their thing for you.
It's one or the other, really?
Yep.
That doesn't seem like a one or the other situation, though.
So imagine it like this. This is thematic. I'm telling you that there's an item in your armor, but Guige doesn't actually know that.
Okay.
It's just Guige is taking a moment and being self-aware and being like, oh, what's this thing? It feels weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then pulling it out and being like, oh.
Okay. Well, I feel a lump in my armor and I dig it out.
Okay. You see a little glass vial that got shoved into one of your pockets that sort of swings around as you're mounting the manticore. And when mm-hmm. you're flying across, you have a moment to check it. And you pull out this little vial and it's full of sickly yellow fluid with a little bit of black swirlies in it, stoppered with a little cork.
I have no clue what it is.
Nope.
I really hope Lori is our ally, because who knows, maybe I'll end up drinking poison. Okay, I guess I complete my turn.
Sorry, El, you're up.
I will make a wisdom roll, or knowledge roll, rather, on the Nilbog.
There's religion, arcana, history, nature.
In essence, I've seen it attack a couple of times. I've now been attacked by it. I want to know... I'm torn between history and arcana. I guess let's go with history, see if I know any stories about them, or how to beat them, or weaknesses. I just want it to go away, but I don't want to spend the spell to hold person. But I kind of want to spend the spell to hold person.
Okay. Roll history.
And before critical failure. 23! In history.
This makes sense as you are a librarian. You understand in a moment of clarity that this cannot be just a simple jester, but is actually a walking curse. Why it would be in the Empress's retinue, you do not know. This curse was placed on the goblinoid species in ancient times when they were all what you would now know as hobgoblins, pleasing in form, strong, and intelligent. But at some point, a hero of their people offended their god by denying his aid in a crisis, And when that crisis came to a head, the hero returned to beg for their help. The god chose to save them, but also to curse them and all their kin, to lose that of which they were most proud, to teach them humility. Hobgoblins who cherished their culture and wisdom became bugbears, savage and ruled by impulse, and those that valued their intellect or strength became goblins, weak and near incapable of complex thought. To this day, it's said that the Nilbog graces some hobgoblin households who grow too prideful and curse their unborn children, turning them into one or the other. And this prancing creature before you is the avatar of that curse.
Well, shoot, now I feel like I gotta fight it. That is good to know, though. That's a lot more complicated than I thought it was gonna be.
It's here to tear you down if you feel prideful.
Oh, shoot. I also realized that I wanted to get closer to Geesh.
Well, right now you're using Manticore move, so you've got 50 feet of fly.
Yeah, let's spend the move, get closer to Geesh.
Do you want to fly down to the ground near Geesh? Or do you want to be hovering above him?
Let's go near him, level to him.
Okay, you find yourself somewhat in between the Hand of Aramane and a couple of angry-looking kobolds, but now you're only maybe 5 feet off the ground, and Geesh is in the midst of heading towards this big black dragon.
I just want to be grouped up so that we all get destroyed together.
Okay, sounds good. What's your action as this Nilbog is still just sort of with his little tiny scrawny arms around your waist? Holding tight, like, oh my god, this thing's going real fast.
Like, my immediate impulse is to, like, hold person him and, like, drop him off the manacore.
I would not be opposed.
Right? I don't want to physically attack it, because Sariel's seen that go poorly. Like, it's obviously real magic. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna end my turn. I'm good.
More movement, evasive maneuvers, a bonus action to find something in your pocket, or to tell someone to snipe somebody.
Let's use that bonus action to find a thing in my pocket.
If she forgoes her action, doesn't she get more movement?
I mean, I could, but I'm already where I want to be, basically.
Sariel, you reach inside your pocket where Lori was getting a little handsy with you during her hug.
Oh my.
Oh my. Ooh. But then you feel suddenly, oh, something's there. And you pull out a small stoppered glass vial that doesn't look like it has anything in it, but when you tilt it in your hands, you feel weight moving around. Like, clearly there's something, some liquid inside, you just can't see it.
Interesting.
Do you want to take evasive action or move more?
Evasive.
You could also prep to boop, ready an action to attack someone who gets close to you or something.
Oh, yee, let's do that. Let's initiate boop preppage, glow up that staff.
Your staff must have already been glowing. You've been in a fight for a while.
Additional staff glowing.
Glowing intensifies. What you recognize immediately, Sariel, as a priest of Asmodeus, just struts across the crater at you, raises a finger to Galena and says, "You are very rude, and I will seal your mouth forever." And he casts silence.
Oh, god damn it. Wait. Can I cast counterspell as a third level?
Yes, you can cast counterspell at higher level, I think. So how are you counterspelling him as you feel your voice leaving you?
I just go, ah!
No, you.
Okay. Spend another spell as you yell at this priest with his stylized hat, who he just looks disconcerted at this screaming dwarf in front of him.
I like to imagine there's anime action lines around her. She goes, no, you!
Basically my function in this fight to interrupt people against casting spells.
Mm-hmm. Sariel, you have the option to boop as this guy walks straight up to the manticore, completely unafraid.
Give him the boops. How do I give the boops?
You click on the weapon attack with your glowy staff.
Boop. That did not do the boop. I am... What the heck?
Do you want me to boop for you?
I was clicking my inventory.
No, we want attacks.
Now that I have figured out not to look at my item, but to actually use it, Sariel critically succeeded with a 28 with that quarterstaff plus them glows.
Why do you always critical boop?
It's terrible.
You deal 15 damage to this guy as he's walking up, pushing his hand with a like clenched fingers at Galena's mouth as her voice sort of wavers in and out, and then you just boop him on the head and He stumbles back and lands on his butt. He is prone. We move on to all the zombies that the Empress Aramane reanimated. They start shambling at Dupe, who is near the edge of this creature. They're not quite to him, but they're moving closer. They only move 10 feet a turn. Actually, they're going to use all their movement, because they can. And so, Dupe, you are having a bunch of friendly undead coming up and starting to on your back.
Meh.
Indeed, meh. Well spoken. Geesh, as you get close to the dragon and your manticore gets into range, the manticore very clearly has been taking everything in stride up to this point, even being blind and deaf. It got scared, but then the moment it was away, it was fine again. Starts to balk at going towards a dragon. And as it gets into the range, the dragon claws at it.
Wait, he's actually attacking the manticore?
Mm-hmm.
What an ass. I'm coming to help him.
It reaches out with both front claws, almost regaining its stance on its hind legs, rapidly moving from its labored side breathing position to almost cat pounce position.
The dragon is?
Yep.
Can I swing the manticore around so it attacks me instead?
You could, basically, the only way you could do this is to launch yourself forward.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Manticore is going to get hit.
Okay. I can you tell that I really want to spare our manticores?
Yes. Can you take 36 damage as these claws come in a snapping, almost raccoon-like grab?
I can take that. If I try to take both of those attacks, one of those attacks will not hit me.
So if you are taking the attacks, you're taking the attacks. You
mm-hmm.
Even if attack would miss you, if you are taking it for someone else, it hits you.
Mm. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to let him attack the manticore. I'm going to have wars with him.
Okay, the manticore is basically squished beneath you.
Oh no, I was going to try and do Spare the Dying.
It goes from okay to very dead.
I can't spare the dying that.
No, it is a smooshed.
God damn it, dragon. I'm coming to help you, and you're attacking my manticore. You
and
freaking
jerk. And the
dragon
reaches its mouth over your head and goes chomp.
Okay. So is it supposed
to be doing this? Does 25 hit your AC?
Is this dragon killing me, James? Or is this how it's talking to me?
I don't know. Because
I'm extremely confused as a player. He's like, send your kin, and then he straight up kills my manticore, and he's biting me on the head.
I need an answer to a question before we talk about this. Does 25 hit your AC?
Yeah, it surpasses my AC.
I want you to take 16 piercing damage as the teeth pierce your armor and go into your flesh, and it lifts you off the mess that was your manticore. And in your head, just over the pain, you hear a voice, and it says, do you offer yourself to me? I can save this world if you become my vessel.
Aw, Geesh, congratulations!
I can help you, but I don't want to be your vessel. Like, if we can find you a place to be later, but I still want to be me.
This body will cease and decay if a new vessel is not offered. The other's corruption has penetrated deep within this flesh.
I could probably carry you and me for a while.
There would be no more you.
Is there really no middle ground, Mr. Dragon? I mean, I feel like you kind of owe me if you just kill my manticore.
It reacts with a sense of confusion in your mind. And just in case y'all are wondering, there's a somewhat time stop effect going on in this moment.
Yeah, because he clearly bit into me and psychically talking to me. Either he's taking over or I'm a snack.
Aren't you a snack?
For dragons, apparently.
This eldest dragon, you feel that it would let you go if you asked. And it says,
that fleeting moment has passed, as will you shortly.
But you have my essence deep within you.
Like, I'm willing to help you, but I'm not going to give up my own life just to do it.
Very well. I will make you a second offer, then.
I will foster the stone within you, so you may face this threat before I am forced to destroy this body and the surrounding area to contain this alien.
I can see in your mind, in your history, that you are trying to get rid of it. This will not be possible after this happens.
Wow, that seems too good to be true. What's in this for the dragon?
No, this is all, like, he's already bitten into me and I'm losing HP, and then Connor's research will be for naught, and I'll be continuously cursed, I guess, probably. I don't know. All of this is terrible. This jerk's a really big, this dragon's a really big asshole. Someone comes up to help him, and I wouldn't even say bites his hand, but like, well, I mean, if I don't give him the help, what is he? He's going to completely destroy everything, right?
It sends you an image of basically the city caving in on itself at this crater point and being buried.
Like, in how long?
It basically tells you when it feels like it is losing itself too much. The alternative is destroy this thing soon.
Oh, to kill the dragon instead.
If you tried to kill the dragon would just activate that thing and it's gone. It says, get rid of this horrible extraplanar monstrosity or I will subsume it in Earth.
Oh, it's a timed battle.
Yep.
Yeah. I really don't like the idea of being stuck stone-touched, even though I might get cool dragon powers. Is there a way, like, I want to try and persuade him in some way, but I don't know how.
You understand that this is not speaking language. This is speaking truths to you. You know that it can give you power, but that power will be you now. There's no way to change it. It can take over, and it will surely destroy this thing, but you will no longer be you. I will tell you now, as a player, you will become an NPC and have to roll something else.
If I take the one where he completely takes over.
Yes.
And then the middle ground is I get some of his essence and I become more powerful, whatever that means, but I am stuck stone-touched.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm letting Connor down. That's my big dilemma, is I'm letting Connor down, and I'm letting Odette down.
Who cares about Connor?
Here's out. Dragon powers.
But extra curse.
Woo! Curse depends on how you look at it.
True that.
All right, I gotta ask myself, what would Guige do in this situation? I feel like he'd either take the middle ground, or he would forsake it, and then just try and do his best. How about this? This dragon, here's my problem. If this dragon was more sympathetic, he would 100% go middle ground. But this dragon's been a giant asshole.
This dragon, as you are touching its mind, is eternal and a force of nature. It doesn't understand your dislike of it.
Well, he's kind of an idiot because he's dying, so he's not so eternal, is he? I mean, he's kind of got the world wrong because he's almost dead.
Doesn't even really seem to understand death so much.
Wow. Gosh. Okay, what will Guige do? I'm sorry, guys. I feel like I'm holding everyone up, but this is a tough choice, and I don't know.
It's okay. Yeah, this is a tough choice.
This is like a big choice. This isn't like me not knowing if I should try to boop a dude. This is the big stuff.
To boop or not to boop? That is the question.
Yeah, I don't know, James. I'm struggling here. With lack of information or reason to care more for this big dragon dude, I am inclined not to.
Well, let's say you have until your next turn to make a decision, and that decision will have been made in time for you to get out of its mouth or for other things to happen.
And that's the other thing. Just by the fact that he's killed my manticore and he's bitten me, I'm even more inclined not to. If you had presented this in an entirely different way, I probably would have gone with it. But it's just, all of this whole thing's really turning me off. And I feel like you should just be indignant on all of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess I'm deciding until my next turn, which is annoying because I feel like I've wasted a turn.
Well, this wasn't your turn.
Okay.
The Hand of Aramain turns and sprints after you, but a couple of ladies and a little goblin land in front of it. And it looks at Galena and without hesitation begins swinging his sword. It rolls a critical strike, 27, and a 9. With the critical hit, he's going to deal 19 damage to you, Galena. And he is also going to pull you off the manticore.
Oh, this guy's annoying.
I'm sorry, guys. The Houndmaster goes. He cracks his whip as he is running forward towards Doop. And the two remaining kobolds, one attacks Galena, now on the ground, and the other one jumps up and attempts to bite at Sariel. Galena, does an 18 hit your AC?
Yeah.
Okay. And a 23 hits Sariel's AC. You both take 5 piercing damage as these animals maul you.
I'm not looking too good.
Remaining manticore looks confused. Oh wait, no, it's dominated.
Oh no.
Sariel, you get a moment where this manticore is like, I don't know who to attack. What's going on? Do you want to give it some general orders?
Attack the kobold going for Galena?
Sure thing. It basically just jumps and tears one of the kobolds to pieces. And once it's done, takes a half-hearted paw at the Hand of Aramain.
Eee.
You guys all notice the mass of flesh is starting to look less there than it was before. Like, a lot less there.
What mass of flesh?
The Nothing That Listens, or the Nameless Hunger.
Okay.
Whichever you prefer. It is starting to look kind of see-through. All right. Kobolds attack again, as that's how they do. Red goes for Sariel. Misses. And other kobolds are all zombies now, or dead. The Nilbog hops off the manticore as it's moving, running along its back, jumps onto your shoulders, Galena, And does a backflip off of you as it says, "You should finish your song now. Nothing is worse than a song getting cut short. Or a story." Lands and does a little jig, and I want you to make a wisdom save. Y'all are very tough against this.
Yeah, I rolled a 19.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dupe, you're up. You're surrounded by zombies. The tendrils have moved between you and the Empress again, and the body at large, but they are starting to look kind of immaterial. Although one of the tendrils, the one most in front of you, looks kind of Swiss cheesy. It is the one that Guige threw some radiance at.
Okay, quick question going back to these zombie thingies.
Mm-hmm.
The Sentinel let me get opportunity attack when they get near me? Or is it if they're already there? Because it says, creatures within 5 feet of you provoke opportunity attacks from you, even if they take the disengage action before leaving your reach. Just talking about when they leave?
Yeah, even if they disengage, you can hit them.
Okay, cool. Just clarifying.
Which, lots of monsters can disengage as a bonus action, so that's really helpful against them.
Right. Is there a penalty if I use my throwing axes when I'm, like, standing right next to a thing?
I don't think so. I think you get disadvantage if you're throwing against something in melee, but I don't think these... If you're throwing at the tendrils aren't really in melee. They're kind of above you more than anything else.
Cool. Is that a regular attack?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's throw one of those at a thing.
At a zombie?
No, at a tendril. I don't care about the zombies.
Swiss cheese tendril or regular tendril?
How big are the Swiss cheese holes in the Swiss cheese?
Not axe-sized.
Okay, let's go for that one.
Okay.
And I rolled a 22.
Dupe, you throw your throwing axe horizontally near the base of the Swiss cheese tendrils and cut through two of them, and an area falls away as you deal 7 damage, destroying that tendril. And the Empress Aramane and the body of the Nothing That Listens at large is revealed to you again.
Hooray! Let's boop that with Godslayer.
Boop.
27.
You swing down, dealing 13 damage, and that light begins to emerge from the crack, and large portions of the creature are destroyed, and only one area of tendrils begins to spread out around the creature, trying to cover the Empress Aramane once again. She looks down and says, "No! No, you can't! Stay away!" And
watch me.
It is her turn, and she
Hold on.
You got one more thing you could do?
I have 2 things.
Ooh.
Second wind as my bonus action.
So before you do second wind, you are aware that I'm going to not make you like burn it, but you can't heal right now.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
You're at your maximum HP, technically.
She did harm.
Mm-hmm.
What she lowered me to is my maximum HP?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I misunderstood that. My bad.
That's okay. Is there anything else you wanted to do?
Action surge.
Oh no.
I'm going to boop it again.
Do you want to boop it again, or do you want to throw some axes at Empress Aramane?
No, I kind of just want to boop the thing.
Okay, boop it again.
29, which is actually, I think, supposed to be a crit.
Oh, is it a 19?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. So you deal 21 damage to the body, and you have one more attack. As you're basically wading into a large section
you
of this thing.
You absolute madman dupe.
And digging a little cave for yourself.
Ooh, this is fun. Yeah, terrifying.
As bits of goopy purple flesh fall off. It seems like the inside is the same as the outside.
Oh. Wait, do I still have another attack?
Mm-hmm. Action surge gives you your full attack action again.
Oh, right. Can I still see her?
Yeah, if you want to.
Yay, let's throw an axe at her.
Do it.
25.
So as you swing your axe up at her, it flies through the air and buries itself in her thigh. And she looks down at it, momentarily looking a little confused, and then blood starts to dribble out of it. She looks back at you and says, "You will pay for striking a god." And she casts Dreadful Glare on you. I want you to make a wisdom save.
18.
Nice. You needed a 16. God. You feel unreasonable fear, but the near-suicidal determination in you... takes over.
Near? No, I think it's suicidal at this point, James.
Okay. You say so. Well, if Dupe says so.
Dupe says, "Rah!"
She actually looks like, like a little startled as you don't run away. All right, Eden, you're up.
Okay, how close to the NTL do I need to get to use my fancy egg on it?
60 feet?
Oh boy. Hang on, let's do some measuring.
Also, I forgot to mention...
I guess I'm a little closer than I thought. Sorry, go ahead.
I forgot to mention that when Sariel booped the cleric, the Radiant Warrior disappeared. Just faded into nothingness.
Sweet.
As he lost concentration.
Okay, so Eden is going to move her 30 feet.
You run to the edge of the crater?
Yep, I'm basically standing right on the edge of the crater if I move 30 feet.
And what were you going to do with the egg?
I want to... out of character. Remind me what this spell is called again.
It's Dispel Evil and Good.
Okay. Well, I want to dispel some evil, and I want to dispel it out of our friend the NTL.
Oh. So normally that spell works by you using the egg on a person, and then they become a vessel for the magic. But I kind of like the idea of you just hucking an egg at this thing. Kind of a Willow style, throwing an acorn.
Well, you know, whatever works, assuming it does work. I hope I can throw that far. I hope Eden has a good arm. Yeah, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it.
Who are you throwing it at?
I mean, I want to aim for the nothing that listens. I mean, but if I hit Kui, that's not the end of the world.
So you can't miss the nothing that listens, even if you aim at the Empress, not Kui.
Oh, the Empress, right, duh.
Either the tendrils in front of her or the tendrils behind her would catch it, or if you threw short or long, it would still land in the Nameless Hunger or the Nothing That Listens.
Great.
I think
so. Do you
want to
aim at her?
I think there's a way you could very easily hit her with it, not have to throw it.
Catapult!
There you go, that a girl.
Jinx! I mean, I really do want to aim for the Nothing That Listens, though, and... if that's going to be fairly easy for me to hit, then I'm just going to go for it.
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
I think it might be better to hit her, because she is trying to absorb its power.
You and your logic.
Yeah.
Well...
you know what? I'm going to do that mainly because I want an excuse to use catapult. So I'm going to use catapult.
Okay. You can also make a knowledge roll if you want to confirm what Geesh just said to you. Or if that's completely wrong and would do terrible things to you.
Do a knowledge roll, please.
Oh, okay. Would that be Arcana? Away with that?
You decide if you think it's Arcana or Religion or History or Nature. Does this look natural to you?
I'm gonna go with Arcana.
Okay.
Ooh, Eden rolled a 19.
Oh, man. Someone trying to absorb an extraplanar entity and then suddenly becoming charged with energy that's anathema to it? That can't be good for them.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Catapult time!
Okay.
And it's the perfect weight.
Yes, finally. We find something light that we need to throw.
So a 17 just barely hits her AC. This is going to be launched at minimum level because it's the lightest thing you could possibly find. It's probably just barely a pound. But you huck an egg at the Empress and it splats on her face,
ooh,
dealing 13 bludgeoning damage as it hits her really hard.
Dang!
As
good thing
appears...
I didn't try to just throw it.
As she appears to have been distracted by this dwarven warrior just hacking away at her eldritch monstrosity, she takes 13 damage, and in a moment, she begins to glow, and all that particulate that was flowing into her suddenly bursts out in every direction. Her mouth opens and begins to spew forward more of it.
Uh-oh.
And there's something like a scream, but it's more of a ugly barfing gurgle sound. And Galena, you're up.
Okay. Do I have something in my armor as well?
Yeah.
I want to find it.
Okay. Bonus action. You fish around your stuff and sort of tucked into the back of your belt is a little vial of crimson liquid that appears to have a little bit of white lines swimming in it. And you recognize this pretty much immediately as it's kind of your bag. This is a healing potion. And as you're looking just momentarily at it, good quality too.
Is it just one use?
Mm-hmm.
Can I eyeball exactly how much it would heal for?
No, you only know that it's not the minimum quality. It's better than the worst healing potions. Unless
okay.
you want to spend your action identifying it.
Nah, I'm going to save it. And after I find that, I'm going to cast Cloud of Ice Daggers on the guy that stabbed me.
Okay. The Hand of Aramain, who's still advancing on you as he struck you off the manticore. You throw out your hand, getting some ice daggers in his business.
Yes. I open up my water canteen and splash a bunch of sharp ice at him. I also cast at a higher level, DC 15.
Right. He gonna save. Wow.
Ooh.
This guy critically fails his dexterity save, and he was going to take 20 damage. He's going to take 40 damage.
That's for stabbing me.
You cut him up.
Basically, this cloud is less a cloud and more six or seven daggers just striking straight into his armor and piercing through up and under scales. All right, Glenna, do you want to move? It would open you up to an opportunity attack, but that's the only action you have left.
No, but can I already used my
bonus.
Oh, I have a reaction. Okay. I was checking to see my cutting words because I had a good thing words.
Mm-hmm. Next time he's cutting at you.
Okay, can I say it and can be reserved for the moment that it can be applied?
Just remember it. Write it down.
No, but it has to be done right now because it just happened.
He's going to have ice daggers around him next time.
Okay.
Have faith. All right, Guiche, you're up. You've had somewhat of an eternal moment inside this wet, hot jaw. Above you, it feels like there's a furnace pumping out sulfur, but you don't feel like you're suffocating, so that's nice.
Out of character. Is this, if I go for the middle ground, am I going to become disfigured or will I still look human? Basically, there's like two questions I got to ask that just you're going to have to answer.
So I can safely answer sometimes.
Okay. Sometimes I'll be disfigured. Will I get healed if I take the middle ground answer? Because I'm super low right now.
Yes.
Okay. Guiche will then ask the dragon, or rather he'll tell the dragon, he'll say, there's always a choice. It doesn't have to be forever, right? It's not going to be permanent.
It will last beyond your lifespan.
How long will I live?
Longer than you would have. Still an eye blink in the larger scheme of things.
Hundreds of years? How long?
Who can say, child, I don't know the future? You and I, we can only see the past.
He thinks it's a terrible idea. If we meet in the middle, is there not some way I can eventually find a host for you?
I do not have enough time. Like the world around us, I will be reborn in fire.
As it's all very, very fantastic and grandiose, it's not exactly informative.
You heard a hard no.
Oh, that's a no? Okay. I guess Guiche relents and he's going to take the middle ground choice and become some sort of weird dragon monster.
It's very unpleasant as you feel like your back is about to break as it does the throw its neck back, open its jaw, and let you fall into its mouth,
mm-hmm.
where it sort of swishes you around in there for a moment,
but
moving you around with its tongue.
What does the rest of the group do when they see this happen?
Guiche just got swallowed.
Yeah. What's everyone else's reaction to this? I imagine Dupe may not have a reaction since he's like up to his face in goop.
Also, he's making like fingers at his eyes, fingers at the Empress's eyes, like doing that. Mm.
But those two did see this.
Well, guess I don't have to worry about healing Guiche now.
Wow.
Oh my, ouch.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, no, I'm just like,
they're all a little busy. Really, before they can react more than just the way Galena did, it puts its mouth down and opens its jaws, and you slide out onto the floor, prone and covered in sulfuric water. As you begin to put your hands down on the ground, trying to stand up again, you realize that you are naked, mostly. There are bits of armor and pads, straps that still cling to you, shreds of shirt that are still burning away. But your hands in front of you are made of stone, black shale. But one thing is good is your sword is still in your hand, and your shield appears to only have been somewhat pockmarked by the fluids.
So my armor has melted away.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my new AC?
I like that that's your first question.
Yes.
I believe your new AC right now is 14. Because you've got 3 from the shield, nothing from protection, 2 from agility. Oh no, 13. Your AC is now 13. Your HP has gone back up to full. It appears the injuries, you can't even tell where they were as you look down at your stomach where the teeth had just pierced gently. They're chunks of hard stone all pressed together.
So am I made of stone?
You appear to be.
But I have skin.
Not outside the stone.
Oh, so I'm just entirely made of black stone right now.
Numerous chunks and scales of black stone, it seems like.
Yeah, all right, cool. Whatever. Let's just roll with this, I guess. Even though I guess this only gives me an armor, an AC of 13.
We're currently under the effect of stone skin.
Mm-hmm.
You take half damage from all non-magical attacks.
Okay.
And you also feel around on your face for just a moment, and there's no blindfold or hat.
Ugh. You just keep adding insult to injury in this, James.
It's or Red Dead hair. Redemption with dragons.
He's bald.
You killed. Oh, I have no hair either. Hat. So nope. You killed my manticore. You've taken my hat. You've taken my armor, and you've taken my hair.
Yep.
What does he have left?
Okay. My scales. Weapons. So I'm the thing currently, some sort of volcanic the thing. Okay. My health is back. Okay. Well, then I guess do I choose what actions I want to do now, or?
I think you're going to have your actions this turn, as most of that was during its turn.
Okay, then.
You have 10 feet less movement because you had to stand up.
Right. And normally I move 30, so I'm going to move 20. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to walk up on that Nilbog, and I'm just going to swing my sword into its face. I'm tired of it getting in the way.
Okay. You're looking around as you're approaching the Nilbog, sort of stalking up on it, ready to swing your sword. You realize that you can see a lot of stuff going on, but it's not overwhelming like it was before.
Mm-hmm.
And much like the Unbreakable Temple, the Nilbog is kind of unmutable.
Meaning what?
Means it doesn't seem to be shifting or changing like everything else seems to be.
Okay. Is there something I, as a player, should be taking from that statement?
No.
So that doesn't mean I can't hit it?
Nope. Make a charisma save.
Okay. And I would like to say that as Gij got dumped out of the dragon's maw, and he's sort of a stone thing, like, I don't think he's realized this has happened. And it's that scene in a movie where, like, there's an explosion, the hero's just, their ears ringing, and he's just like, oh, okay, gotta keep fighting. Hasn't really processed everything yet. But yes, charisma save. I rolled a 13.
I think that might be enough. Yeah, must succeed on a DC 13 charisma check, or you just compliment it. You can make your attack.
Gij will viciously swing into its face once, and it's still alive. James?
As you swing the sword, there's a moment where you see the Nilbog have two of itself. It was immutable, it seemed, and then there's very clearly two of them, not like the shadows out going in every direction for a moment. One of them moves out of the way of your sword, and the other one is cut in half. And the second later, as you're readying for a backswing, it seems to be normal again.
Meaning what?
I don't know. What does Gij think that thinks that?
Okay, let's do a roll to figure out what that means. God, what would that be?
I don't know.
I guess wisdom? Would I roll wisdom? No.
It's one of the knowledge rolls. Some of them are much easier than other ones.
You mean one of the skill checks? Skill yeah. checks?
And would give you more pertinent information.
Can I roll perception? Would that be all right?
It wouldn't tell you anything. You saw everything. Saw it really well. It's right in front of you.
I'm guessing it's like I can roll nature or arcana or one of those.
Nature, or arcana, religion, or history.
What's history at? All of those are zero. You know what? I guess I'll roll an arcana.
Okay.
I rolled a 10.
It's got some kind of magic ward on it.
Okay, then. Seeing as that didn't quite kill it, and the other dude is prone, I'm just going to viciously swing on him.
Okay.
I guess at advantage, right?
Yes. As he looks mildly disoriented, sitting on his bum.
I critically succeeded with a 28. And I believe when I critically succeed with the Sword of the Squire, something really nasty happens.
Finally. I know you do an additional 46, I think. Let's look it up. What do you do?
What do you do? When you attack a creature with this and you roll a 20 on the attack roll, the target takes an additional 46. Then you roll another d20. If you roll a hit, you lop off one of the target's limbs.
Okay.
With the effect of such loss determined by the GM. At an additional 17 damage, I'm pretty sure he's going to go down really quick because I'm just slicing him to pieces.
So roll one more attack, not advantage.
Sure. Roll the 23.
You cut off his head.
Yep, because you know, dragon barfs you out, all your clothes have melted off, you're made of stone, and you're just going to just chop the guy's head off. Because,
wow!
Because the
you dropped
ending.
Him to -4 before you cut off a limb, so he dead. Super dead.
Okay. Is that all my movement?
Yep.
All right. I've completed my turn.
Sorry, El, you're up.
Oh no. Can I get a real quick recap from like the last couple minutes while I was fighting with my computer?
Yes. So on the Nilbog, I hit it, but then he turned into two, and one of them died, but the other one's still alive because he's magic. And then I swung on the Lawgiver, and I quickly succeeded, and I swung again, and I chopped off his head. He did.
Oh, so Nilbog's dead.
No, Lawgiver is.
Lawgiver's dead? Okay.
Nilbog is still alive because he's magic, and apparently the one that I attacked died or disappeared, but the second one's still there. I'm going into, like, I'm going to kill everything mode in a moment. So, I mean, I've already begun, so feel free to do what you want. I've turned into an abomination, so.
Nice. I guess I should probably... I'm going to try to hold person, Nilbog. Or wait.
He's made of magic. James said he was some sort of ward, so he actually might be.
Person probably won't even work on him.
Yeah, like he's probably being cast by Aramane or something.
Okay.
That's what it is.
I'll boop the hand to Aramane.
Boop him good?
I'm gonna do that boop. Sariel did a 16 boop.
A 16 boop? A 16 boop hits, and you deal 10 bludgeoning damage as you strike him on the side pretty hard, as a bunch of ice knives have just hit him in the chest.
Having a bad day.
The priest of Asmodeus, aka the lawgiver, is dead, and it is Zombo's turn. Zombo's proceed to swarm Doop. Hello, Zombo's. Where are you at? And they are surrounding you, so they have flanking, and they're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. 15, 11, 11, and a crit 23.
Just the 23.
Wait, do they have to crit to hit you?
My AC is 20.
Oh, okay, it's only 20. I was about to say, that'd be crazy.
If I still had my shield, then yeah, they would have to crit.
They deal 6 damage to you as they are just sort of swarming around your back. The zombie kobolds, one of them gnawing on your leg, the other one without a jaw to gnaw with, is just sort of clawing at your back. But one of the people digs their dirty nails around your helmet.
Very important question.
Yes?
My butt is intact.
Yes. Your butt is untouched.
Okay. Everything is okay.
Very important.
Like, his defining feature.
The hand of Aramane is going to step out of the ice daggers and provoke an opportunity attack from Sariel.
Get booped again, nerd.
Boop that sucker.
Because he does not want to get knifed again. Please, no knives.
Dang, that's a really good way to force an enemy into opportunity of attacks.
Sariel 27 boot. One shy of a critical success.
You crack him a good one as he sidesteps away and continues to wail on Galena.
Wait, is he hitting me right now?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to use cutting words, and I'm going to say, it took steel to hurt me, but it just takes ice to hurt you.
Ooh, good one.
And
it's words about cutting, too. Nice.
His roll is reduced by 1d10.
Okay. Do you want to apply it to his 15 or his 18?
His 18.
Also, roll a d10. So he rolls a 15 and a 14. Do either of those hit you?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah, my armor class is 13.
Ah, you went big, but unfortunately, no, it didn't work out for you. He deals 21 damage as he strikes you twice. He has a mask over his face that looks like a face, but is just silent in the face of your wicked barbs.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be needing that health potion.
Houndmaster doesn't really have any hounds to make move around, so he's going to step behind the zombies and Cat of Nine Tails.
He actually has one hound.
That's not enough to use his action on, though.
Okay.
Back when he had 4 each, that was a good time, but not now. He is going to crack the whip twice at you, Dupe, again with advantage. At 25 hits, and a 10 does not, and he deals 10 slashing damage to you, as some of the little beads find gaps in your armor. Manticore's turn. It's going to continue doing what it was doing last time, unless you want to stop it.
What was it doing last time?
Attacking kobolds.
I think the only one left is currently chewing on my ankle, and I'm mostly okay with that.
Do you want to tell the manticore to stop attacking?
Can I get it to attack the Eye of Aramane?
The Hand of Aramane?
Hand of Aramane, yes.
Sure. So it's going to leap forward. Actually, it's not going to leap forward because it would have to move through a zone of ice knives. Instead, when you tell it to attack, its tail whips to your left and then to your right, throwing spikes at it. And it hits with both 20 and 24 and deals 13 damage.
Nice.
The nothing that listens has taken a beating.
Its last tendrils recede into nothing, fading along with the particulate that is bursting from the Empress. And the body begins to shrink to possibly less than half of its size previous, but it still maintains its upward gaze, looking upon its reflection and the Empress. Last kobold's gonna gnaw on your leg, because that's how it do. Chomp chomp, Sariel. 8 does not hit. You're able to do kicky feet, and it isn't able to grab you.
Nice.
The Nilvog turns to you, Gige, and opens its mouth like it's about to say something, and then covers it and starts laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
And make a wisdom save.
I roll a 10.
in this moment, you were talking about how you're having your
shell shock moment.
You take this second to look down, and the sudden jarring biological change you feel in yourself. It's not just that you got hit on the head really hard, it's that the world really does look different.
Mm-hmm.
You take 2 psychic damage, and you have disadvantage on your next attack.
Okay.
Dupe, you're up. The Eldritch Horror in front of you has actually receded so far away that you can't swing at it without moving.
I'm going to take a lot of opportunity attacks right now. Oh well.
Are you moving forward?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got 4 zombie attacks. 1, 2, 3, 4. But the Houndmaster doesn't have opportunity attack at reach, so 22 and 23 hit you. You're going to take 10 bludgeoning damage as they claw at you as you step away.
Okay. Time to banish this thing.
Oh, dang. You going boop it?
Yeah. Roll the 19.
This remnant under the Empress, she's sinking towards the floor this whole time and is now maybe 15 feet up. And you reach this large blob that is mostly eye now. The bodily pulsating mass around it is almost gone. And you slam your hammer into it. The light emerges from the cracks. And then you see it illuminating things on the other side. And there is a kind of sickening just like plopsh of gooey mess. But then there's just more particulate in the air. And this thing is gone as if it was never here.
Yes.
The Empress looks down, coughing and wiping an arm in an undignified fashion across her mouth and says, "No! No! All my sacrifice in vain! This is unacceptable. You will pay for what you have done. Your memory will be expunged from the world."
I wasn't doing this to be remembered.
Oh, dang.
What is she doing?
She is lowering towards you, but your turn's not over yet.
Oh. Can I reach her?
She's... Move. Technically 15 feet above you, so you can't swing at her with a melee weapon.
Okay, throwy throw.
Throwy throw?
Actually, wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to throw. 20.
20 hits, and she takes 5 damage. Another axe just swings into her shoulder. She winces ever so slightly as it hits, but it doesn't seem like it phases her very much.
Okay, I should probably use second wind now.
That might be a good idea.
3. I get 19 back.
And that is your turn. The Empress Aramane descends to the ground in front of you and just lands barefoot in the broken black stone, marches up to you, her hand outstretched like she's gonna slap you. Does a 20 hit your AC?
Yep.
Make a DC 16 constitution save.
23.
She slaps you and deals 29 damage, 11 bludgeoning, and 18 radiant as she slaps you like really hard, like a very strong person hitting you, but then also just a blast of heat and light bursts out. But otherwise, you feel like some ominous feeling slid off.
You're like, what?
All right, Eden, you're up.
All right, let's smack this biatch around. I want to tap Archer Lady. What's her name again?
Odette.
I want to tap Odette, the archer, to snipe some folks.
Okay. You put out the news from the mushroom. What kind of target description are you giving?
The space right in between the eyes of the Empress would be ideal.
All right. Sounds good. The Empress is moving quickly, and you see a glint momentarily as an arrow passes between her horns, clatters between them, and falls off to the side as she misses with a 13.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's hard for her to do. She has a plus 10 to hit. She rolled a 2 and a 3. She's got Divinity Shield.
So what actions will Eden take?
I'm trying to decide. Hang on. I think I want to just go big and call up a storm sphere in the Empress's general area.
Okay, we're going to have this thing represent storm sphere. Do you want to click on that so we can see what it do?
Yeah.
And whether it's going to heck with dupe or not?
Could I use Careful Spell to avoid that?
Unfortunately, you don't have any more sorcery points, but I think
oh,
you can
dang it.
Sort of put it behind her so it won't kill dupe.
Just kill dupe.
No. So a 20-foot radius sphere of whirling air springs into existence, centered on a point you choose within range. The sphere remains for the spell's duration. Each creature in the sphere, when it appears or that ends its turn there, must succeed on a strength saving throw or take 2d6 bludgeoning damage. The sphere's space is difficult terrain. Until the spell ends, you can use a bonus action on each of your turns to cause a bolt of lightning to leap from the center of the sphere toward one creature you choose within 60 feet of the center.
Okay, she's going to succeed her strength save. Are you going to shoot lightning at her?
Hell yeah!
I believe that's a dexterity save, or is it an attack? Or does it say?
I don't think it says.
I'm going to say that's a dex save against your spell save, because that's what lightning attacks are.
Let's see. Sphere to one creature you choose, lightning within 60 feet, make a ranged spell attack. You have advantage on the attack roll if the target is in the sphere. On a hit, the target takes 4d6 lightning damage.
Oh, okay. Dope. So just make a firebolt attack at advantage, and then we'll roll the damage separate.
Ooh, Eden rolled a 22 at advantage.
That hits.
Woo!
The Empress Aramain takes 16 damage as the lightning strikes just internally within this whirling sphere of air that she's just at the edge of, and Dupe is preventing her egress. And with that, we move on to Galena's turn. Galena, you're still between a Nilbog and the Hand of Aramain.
I'm going to take my potion.
You're going to quaff?
Yes, because I'm at 14 out of 70.
Oh wow, that's a lot of fours. Nice. You regain 32 HP.
I feel better.
Oh yeah, you feel a lot better.
And I'm going to cast Wave Strike on... Wait, what did you say his mask was made out of?
It looks like it's made of metal, or possibly porcelain. It's hard to tell what it's made of. It's painted.
I'm going to cast Shatter on him in his armor.
So, rules corner. A lot of magical effects, like fire and shatter, anything that's being carried by someone is usually protected from the effects of the damage, unless it says otherwise. If you're holding a scroll and someone hits you with firebolt or a fireball, it doesn't automatically burn the scroll.
Which is why I still have my sword and shield, even though my clothes and armor then melted off.
Well, that was something else. They're magical or mastercrafted, and the other thing wasn't. But you cast Shatter on this guy, and he makes a con save against it. He crits.
Damn it.
You see the mask crack down the middle, but he continues to walk through the sound, the piercing noise, without faltering even a little bit.
What did you say about the object? Oh, okay. Yeah, it says in this spell it does take damage unless it's a magical item.
Objects take double damage, but held objects are different than objects.
Okay.
And so, like, things that are being worn or your sword, like, his sword doesn't shatter because you cast Shatter on him. Like, his sword is protected from that effect by virtue of being held. It's almost like magic in D&D has aura systems. By virtue of being held by a sentient being, they are protected a little bit from magic.
Okay.
All right, Geesh, you're up.
I would like to say that I'm just going to walk around Nilbog. Well, actually, no, you said Nilbog separated into two. Where's the other Nilbog at then?
You saw, as you were slashing through, them split into two, and you killed one. And then after you finished swinging through, they snapped back together and were fine.
Okay. So I can't walk through the Nilbog, right?
No.
Can I
walk
up?
You could try to bull rush your way through the Nilbog.
Can I walk up and around it?
Yeah.
Okay, then. I'm just going to walk around the Nilbog to the side of the Hand of Aramain. And he's just very much in the, I don't quite know what's happening, but I'm a soldier, so I need to kill the enemies.
Okay, and you'll be flanking from that position.
Yep. So he's now flanking the Eye of Aramain, and he's going to take one swing on it, 18. I'm going to take another swing on it, 21. How's it looking so far, James?
He's looking like he's taken a lot of grievous injuries, but is still trucking.
Geesh will use precision and action surge. No, I won't use action surge yet. I've already done my two attacks, so I'll just stop there. And as I do that, I'll mutter, or I'll just say, the Nilbog is a ward. And I say this as I'm wailing on the Hand of Aramain.
Okay.
Sort of making my slow march towards What's-Her-Face.
Okay. Sariel, you're up.
I'm going to continue with the boopins on the Hand of Aramain. I guess we're just all beaten up on this guy now.
Okay.
At advantage.
Just roll again.
I'll just roll again. 11. 11 with the boopins.
Yeah, the Hand of Aramain has adopted a more defensive posture now that he is being surrounded. Do you want to move at all, or kick your manticore into a direction?
I suppose it would probably be a good idea to head over towards Eden.
As long as you don't leave the range of the Hand of Airmain, he's not going to make a reaction attack. But you can move to the other side of him.
Okay.
Okay, all done?
I'm good.
All right. The Zombos continue to swarm around Dupe and make four attacks. As Dupe is pressed between them and the Empress, they are going to be attacking at advantage. Only one attack hits, but is a crit, and deals 8 damage. Next is the Hand of Airmain. Seeing himself surrounded, bleeding from many wounds, pulls out a flask, drops his sword, and throws the flask on the ground. And I want you all to make a DC 14 dex save. And by you all, I mean Guige, Galena, Sariel, you can make your save, or you can make the save as the Manticore, because it's either the Manticore gets out of the way or you jump off the Manticore.
Galena rolled a 10.
Oh yeah, dex saves, I can always add my shield. Let's see. Plus 2 dex. Oh shoot. Million score improvements, is it here?
It's not going to help you, no matter what.
Okay.
Sariel, are you trying to get your Manticore to move away, or are you just jumping off?
Let's try to get the Manticore to move away.
The Manticore does not move away, and in fact interprets what you're saying as move closer, and rolls a 5. It takes 18 fire damage, as do the rest of you, as none of you have saved. And we move to Houndmaster, who goes whip whip on Dupe at advantage. Hits with one attack for 10 slashing damage.
14 doesn't hit me.
22 does.
Oh, shit. Misread that.
Yeah, he only hit you with one attack. The 14 does not hit, 22 does. It is Manticore's turn. Manticore attacks Eye of Airmain. I mean Hand of Airmain, but Hand of Airmain is kind of already dead. So it just goes chomp on a singed body as the Hand of Airmain went up in flames. One last kobold comes after you. Sorry, El. Keeps trying to chomp at your leg and misses.
I firmly tell it to cut that out.
Guige and Galena, the Nilbog runs by you towards the Empress Airmain and provokes opportunity attacks if you want to.
Yep. Do I get multi-attack on opportunity?
No, just one.
I critically succeeded.
Nice. Between
sort of the squire on the Nilbog.
Galena, make your attack as well, because yours goes off first.
Okay.
I don't think you get to cast spells as an opportunity attack.
Okay.
Unless you take War Mage.
Mother I critically failed at using my poisonous cane sword.
Yup. So, Galena, you take 1 piercing damage and 9 poison. I'm sorry. Make a con save. A DC 14 con save.
Oh, I critically failed!
Oh my god.
It's a good thing you're the healer.
Wow. 2 in a row. Nice. You take 1 piercing damage and 18 poison damage. As you're pulling it out, you draw the blade right across your hand.
I don't take poison. I'm a dwarf.
Oh, you get advantage on constitution saves is what happens. So you get to roll that con save again. I doubt you're going to be taking double damage.
I rolled a 19.
Nice, much better. Okay, so you're going to be taking 5 damage total, 1 piercing, and 4 poison.
I'm resistant to poison damage.
You actually have poison resistance? Okay, then 3 damage total.
Okay, yeah, it's poison resilience, advantage on con saving throws versus poison and resistant to poison damage.
Nice. So yeah, you only take 3 damage, 1 piercing and 2 poison. That's much better than 1 piercing and 18 poison. Good thing you're a dwarf.
So, I could have succeeded on the Nilbog.
Guige, as this Nilbog passes, it's smiling jovially at you, and you basically just cut straight through it. You see it start to split into two, but you catch it right before it does, and it continues to prance without most of its head for maybe 5 or 6 more feet before falling down. Its little jangly bell hat falling off well before that.
Oh, it's finally dead?
Mm-hmm.
When the Nilbog falls, Guige goes, Airmain, I'm coming for you.
Getting creepy on her. Okay, Dupe, you're up.
Oh, thank God one of these other losers didn't kill me. That was close. What can Connor do?
Connor can drop a fireball or put a shield on somebody.
Okay, we're going to hold on to that. I'm going to boop the goddess lady.
Okay.
I'm going to use my great weapon master feat, though. So you can increase the damage. Yeah. I'll take a -5 penalty to the attack roll, but if I hit, I add 10.
Okay, you're going reckless on her. Cool.
Yep. So the 16 becomes an 11? That sucks. Wow. And the 13 becomes an 8.
You start swinging your weapon around and it gets caught on these zombies mostly, and the one that manages to make through is so slowed down that she is able to back up and it just swings harmlessly in front of her.
Okay, Dupe is gonna die.
No!
She is going to first, as you swing down, oh wow, do you have 1 HP?
Yep.
That's bad. She is going to step forward after you swing down and slap you again.
Owie.
With her Divine Smite hitting for 24 and dealing 15 bludgeoning damage and 20 radiant.
Yeah, Dupe's super dead.
So you're currently sitting at negative 34.
Yep, good times.
And in this moment, she disapparates into that material you saw spewing forth from her, disappears for a moment, and reappears next to Eden.
Ah!
Eden, you're up. She's standing right next to you.
Hello!
And saying, I saw you throw it, and you will die.
I have no idea what you're talking about, lady.
She seems to be winding up for a slap, but you've got time to respond. It's your turn, not hers.
I'm gonna throw a flaming bag of poo.
Oh no, you're just doubling down.
Ooh, how about a fireball to the face?
You are a war mage, so you can do that in melee and it's not bad for you.
I'm gonna do it.
Oh wait, I heard you say firebolt. Did you say fireball?
Oh, I said fireball.
She is standing right next to you, and so is Sariel and a Manticore. You could try to angle it behind her so it only the edge catches her. Do you want to try to do that?
Sure, but a little bit of it's got to get on her face.
Oh, it's definitely going to be scorching her back because she's looking at you and you have to throw it behind her.
Okay, that works.
You can totally mess up her hair. She saves with a 21, but still takes 13 damage.
Hooray!
As the fire backlights her, you just have this moment of like, wow, she's making this look good. She just looks majestic.
Oh, man.
All right, Glenna, you're up. My first question is, do you dispel the ice daggers that are now between you and the Empress?
Can I move them to her?
Only by casting it again.
Okay, yeah, I dispel them. And so what's the status of, and do I know what's going on with him?
The status of Dupe?
Yeah.
You just saw him go down hard, and he's currently surrounded by 4 mindless zombies who, if they attack an unarmed target, will automatically crit. If they hit at all. And they also make him fail a death save every time they hit. So if 3 of them hit, he will instantly die.
So I'm going to move over towards Dupe as far as I can go, which is 30.
I think you can only run 25 as a dwarf.
Oh yeah, I moved to that spot.
You begin running towards Dupe, getting down to the bottom layer, and there are 4 zombies in front of you, 2 citizens and 2 somewhat mauled kobolds, as well as behind them the Houndmaster, who's now pulling his whip between his hands again, smiling.
Moving was a bonus action, right?
No, that was your move.
Oh, Healing Word is a bonus action.
Yes, Healing Word is a bonus action.
So I can move and cast Healing Word and that's it, right?
You can move, cast Healing Word, and do one more thing.
Okay, I'm going to cast Healing Word.
Okay.
On Dupe, obviously.
All right, do it.
Damn it.
You cast it at a higher level and he gets plus 10 HP and stabilizes, but he's still at negative 24.
Yeah.
But he's not going to make a death save unless he gets hit again.
And I'm going to cast Phantasmal Force. Let's say right behind Dupe, because I want to get the attention of the zombies and the Houndmaster, so wherever they're facing towards.
I don't know what Phantasmal Force does.
Let me read it to you. I thought it would show. Craft an illusion that takes root in the mind of, a creature I can see within range.
Yeah, that's kind of what target... I thought. It's only one person.
Okay, damn it. Well, I'm out of all my higher level spells above 3.
So what spell above 3 did you want to use?
Hypnotic Pattern.
Oh, that would have been helpful right now.
I will recast a Cloud of Ice Daggers and aim it where the zombie that's on Dupe's far, on the farthest one, that's by the Houndmaster.
Okay. It will make a dexterity save, which you know the zombies are jamming at.
What the fuck?
Oh, what?
It's hijinks.
Hijinks ensue.
Yeah.
The zombie crits with an 18, because it has minus 2 dex, and I guess sees something shiny on the ground and goes, "Hurr," and all these ice daggers fly over its head. And Geesh, you're up.
Okay.
Dupe has died, right?
He's down. He's not dead yet. You know that Galena just threw some healing magic at him, so you know he's stable. He won't be making death saves, but he is surrounded by zombies who don't seem to have any intention of stopping attacking him.
Hmm. And nothing that listens, Antiel. Is this not on the map anymore?
That is not that anymore. That's just...
That's cloud, yeah.
That's her lightning cloud. So anything that moves into that gets hurt. So right now, it is blocking off Dupe.
So is Dupe still at negative HP?
Yes, he's at negative 20-something.
I hope Galena will get out of the way, because Geesh is going to rush with his shield out towards Dupe.
How am I supposed to get out of the way?
Well, you're
the
friendly
rules
allies,
say
so
you're
a
friend
with
your allies, so you can just step out of the way.
Oh, okay, okay. Then, of course.
Geesh is just like, I'm coming through, and you step over.
So seeing Dupe go down, Geesh rushes forward with his shield, and he wants to knock one of the zombies out of the way and do spare the dying on Dupe.
So that will require your action surge, because one of those actions is a bull rush, or you
can use your
attack to shield bash.
Sure, sure. Okay, let's do that. Let's do the action surge from that. I would have liked to have done it on Aramane, but yes, it is important to keep my ally alive.
Also, spare the dying will bring him up to zero and stabilize him, but he will still be
near right, dead. But I mean, in terms of math, it's smarter to use spare the dying.
True. So what make your shield attack. Actually, no, I believe it's just a strength save for the zombie.
Yeah, where's that? Shieldmaster? Is it in Shieldmaster? Why?
The zombie gets pushed into the wind, and because it enters that zone, it makes another strength save, but seems to be just handling the tornado pretty well. Looks like a confused soldier sort of stumbling around in intense winds of the sphere.
And, I mean, I don't even know if I still have my iconography, but Geesh grabs at Dupe and says, "Saloon, hold this traveler in your light so they may see tomorrow. Get up. You're not done yet." Can I scooch him between me and Galena?
Only by provoking a bunch of opportunity attacks on him.
Okay, then I'll leave him there.
You still have one attack, because one of your attacks was shield bash.
Right, right. Okay, then. Oh, well, no, I can't use a cantrip, can I? That's to be a physical attack. Okay. Then I'm going to do a sword attack on this zombie kobold. I swung a 17 on it. And I take it I run such a deep cut that the zombified kobold is dead. You are muted, James.
Gosh darn it. So you cut off the kobold's head and the body continues to wander around for a little while, but doesn't seem to be inclined to attack anyone.
That is the third head I've taken this fight.
Yep, you have a very sharp sword. Sariel, you're up. You're still atop your manticore. The manticore is bleeding from many wounds and huffing deeply, but the Empress Aramane has just appeared next to Eden and appears to be getting ready to smack her around, despite being in a cool inferno, because she knows better than to look at explosions.
Cool kids never look at the explosions.
True, true.
I'm kind of rough. The manticore's kind of rough. Eden, what's your health look like?
I'm at full health, actually.
That's amazing.
I know.
I only have one spell in this slot, so I want to get good value on it. That has a 30-foot radius.
She can be cool and ignore two explosions.
James, would Galena be within 30 feet of us?
Yes. She's only like 10 feet away from you.
Oh, okay. So is this still the 5-foot brackets?
Yes.
Okay.
You can use the little measuring thing. Galena is 15 feet away from you.
What about Geesh?
Geesh? Is 25 feet away from you, and Dupe is 30.
Sweet, I'm gonna cast Mask Your Wounds.
Oh snap.
Dang, son.
The mad heals are coming out.
Sariel casts Mask Your Wounds. I can heal 6 targets for 16, it looks like.
Wow. Okay, are you gonna include Manticore in that? Because there's only 5 of you.
Yeah, we're gonna include Manticore in that.
Cool.
Get healed up, little buddy.
Alright, Dupe, you're back up. 16 HP.
Jesus, this is ridiculous.
Do you want to describe what that looks like? Because I feel like you can't drop a spell that cool and not describe it.
I agree. Concur.
Usually, Sariel's healing spells are just a whole bunch of body horror. Just like a whole bunch of like sparkles and delicate bells, and then a whole bunch of body horror.
Nice.
Oh, no. I'm into it. Okay. So at the end of that turn, Aramane is going to take a legendary action, which I guess she should have done earlier. But she's going to see this happening, scream, and say, "No!" And you are all going to be bathed in radiance and feel negative energy pour over you. And you feel that no more healing can happen to any of you until her next turn.
Rude.
And she's also going to grip Eden's shoulder.
Ow.
I want you to make a constitution save. Also take 33 damage.
She is a demigod.
Did you say constitution?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eden rolled a 14.
You feel like something is deeply wrong inside your body. Like it's breaking down at its fundamental level. And you take 16 additional damage.
And that's 16 in addition to what again?
33.
Oh, good.
And it's the Zombones' turn. The Zombones, one of them swings at Geesh. The two that are remaining swing at Dupe. They are surrounding you, so they get advantage.
And I will impose protection.
Oh, so they don't get advantage on one of those.
I will impose protection on the 21. You can use a reaction to impose this advantage on the attack with your shield.
What I need to do is roll it again and find out. Okay, an 18 does not hit you, Dupe. A 17 does hit Geesh.
Mm-hmm.
But as you are under the effects of stone skin, you only take one damage as its claws just sort of scrape across your flesh, your stone flesh. Hand of Aramine is dead. Houndmaster snarls, looking down at Dupe, whose flesh has just knitted together after a bunch of creepy nonsense. It whips a couple times, hitting with one of them, 25, and dealing 8 slashing damage. The Manticore is ready to be commanded, but seems less than inclined to attack the Empress. Sorry, do you want to try to have it do something else?
No, I think we're okay.
Okay. A kobold gnaws on your foot.
Oh, geez, that thing's still there?
Yep.
Yeah, at some point, I'm going to wrap it, like, in my cloak and just shove it down the front of my shirt.
And hugbox it, yeah.
Awesome.
Settle down. You settle down.
Bad doggo. Okay. It deals 7 piercing damage as it gnaws on your foot. And Dupe, you're back up. You feel very bad, but are surrounded by some zombies, and this guy keeps whipping you.
Why is this still happening? Okay, time to kill some zombies. Probably won't do the great weapon master thingy for now.
Mm-hmm.
17 on 1. Probably the zombie guy, not the dog.
Godslayer hits the zombie person, and the zombie seems damaged, like you tore open its chest cavity, but seems pretty much fine. Until there's a light burst and the zombie disappears.
Hooray.
And the second attack?
Hit the zombie dog.
Doggo. Or kobold.
Yeah.
18 hits.
Kobold.
And you smash that undead dog into tiny, tiny bits.
Okay, time to die again. That was fun.
The Empress opens her mouth and out comes a degree of particulate right into Eden's face.
Come on.
As she casts Insect Plague. I want actually everyone to make a DC 17 constitution save.
Lol.
The Houndmaster is also making the save and does not succeed and takes 24 damage.
Sariel also does not succeed.
Sariel and Eden take 24 damage. Everyone who succeeded the save, Dupe, Geesh, and Galena, did you make the save?
I'm down to 6 HP.
For her.
Yeah, you're the glass cannon.
Yeah, I jinxed it real bad when I asked what your health was. That was
thanks
my bad.
A lot, man.
Right?
You're the glass cannon.
You threw an egg at the Empress. You egged her.
Yeah, I totally deserve this.
So Sariel, Eden fail their saves and take 24 damage. The rest of you take 12 damage. And it is Eden's turn again.
Okay, tell me if I can do this. I want to get away from her, so I want to use Misty Step. But then I want to throw something in her face, something painful in her face, like a thunder wave. Can I use both of those in one turn?
I believe Misty Step is a move spell.
Yes.
Oh, I think Dupe is down again.
Yep.
Okay, first I am Misty Stepping as far away from her as I can.
So 30 feet in any direction.
I will head. Hang on. I got this. I appreciate the spinning, though.
Ooh, counterclockwise.
Okay. And now I'm throwing a Thunder Wave in her direction.
So may I recommend a switch in that order? Because Thunder Wave is a close spell that spawns from you and moves out.
Okay. Yes, works for me.
Okay. So she's going to make a con save as you Thunder Wave her face, trying to make her step back before you poof away. She succeeds.
Ugh.
Oh, wow. What level did you cast Thunder Wave at?
Oh, level 9.
I don't think you have level 9 spells, madam.
Oops.
Try that again. This time, cast a spell that you have. I was about to say, doing 57 damage on Thunderwave is pretty impressive. Okay, 25 damage. She's going to take 13. Galena, you're up.
Okay. I am... Wait, what's Dupe's health?
-4.
-4? Ah, okay, I'm going to cast Healing Word on you again. There you go.
+10 HP. This is a bad day for Dupe.
And then I'm going to go over to the Houndmaster. I'm going to stab him.
Okay. Yeah, you can do that.
8.
8 damage. Houndmaster is going to con save against it. Fail. You are going to stab the Houndmaster, who's going to look at this narrow rapier blade in his stomach and sort of look up at you like, what is this supposed to do? And then he starts foaming at the mouth and falls down and is dead.
Cool.
Hey, 1 second. Can't I not take get healing?
Oh, right now? You're right. You can't take healing right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, crap.
I can. Or maybe I'm at 6 HP.
Oh. No, wait. So when can people take healing?
At the end of Empress Aramane's next turn.
Okay, so I didn't heal.
No. He's still at -4.
Let's pretend that happened.
So you can regain that spell if you like.
And I'm going to... where's Eden?
She poofed behind you.
Okay, so she's right by me. I'm gonna give her bardic inspiration.
Hooray!
Oh no, I didn't think that far ahead.
Eden, make her suck eggs.
Eden, your hair still looks fabulous.
Yay!
I'm gonna be like, you can win this cat fight.
Ooh.
I don't know. Yeah.
Meow. Alright. Geez, you're up. There's one zombie still within the wind wall, and the Empress is standing over yonder.
And Dupe is dead, right? Or downed?
Down.
Could I delay my turn to go after Sariel?
Yes.
I would like to say Geesh will grow out of Sariel. Sariel, move. And he pats his hand over his what's left of his clothes and finds he still has an item.
Mm-hmm. Which item?
Dragon Mud Plug.
Oh, okay.
The Dragon Butt Plug.
Yes. All right. Sariel, you're up.
Hey, let me know if this won't work, but I'm going to try to cast Hold Person on the demigod.
You can try. That is a wisdom save, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
Unfortunately, as you throw your hand out working your ancient natural magics, she just looks at you and is looking past you towards Eden with rage etched in her face.
Eden waves innocently.
She rolls a 20 wisdom save, and it is not affected. Do you want to try to move, like you said?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Okay, you realize, as she's looking at you and within melee range, you have the opportunity to jump off the manticore as she is stalking towards you and avoid the opportunity attack, but she's probably going to slap that manticore out of the way. Or you can risk taking the opportunity attack yourself by moving the whole business away.
I would like to try to move the whole business away.
Okay. She's going to make an opportunity attack at you as she attempts is stalking forward towards Eden, but you're in the way. Does a 16 hit you?
I believe so, yes.
Make a DC 16 constitution saving throw and also take 13 bludgeoning damage and 29 radiant.
Are you dead? God damn it.
You are at -39. As she basically just backhands you off the manticore, which whimpers away from her. Sariel is down. Geesh, you're up.
So that's not how he wanted Sariel to get out of the way. But Geesh will move forward, and he fishes the mud plug out of his pocket, and he sees that she's got her eyes fixed on Eden, and he just clears his throat and then spits on her, on the Empress. Because he wants to insult her pride, so she focuses on him. And by that time, he's already fixed the mud plug to the shield. And you know exactly what I'm going to do.
Are you going to plant the shield first?
Of course.
With bonus action?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say you can spit as part of your move.
Sure. I didn't move a whole lot. And now what do I roll? Oh, it says it on the other thing. Basically, because she took it neck to the face, and that's why she's all butt hurt. So she's like, you know what then? Here, I'm going to spit on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I roll a 3d6 fire damage and 3d6 piercing, and it's for 15 to 30 feet radius.
And what does she save against? Dex?
14 dex, which she probably will be able to save because she's all fancy pants. Oh, oh, snap. That's not good for her.
Nope. It's not a spell effect, so she's not advantage against it. She rolls a 9 and takes the full damage. So 3d6, 3d6.
There you go.
So 15. That first one is really high damage. And 12.
He plants his shield, hits the button, which makes the little prongs hit the ground. And then, boom.
She is blown back a couple of steps as bits of shrapnel and fire engulf her for a moment. And for a moment you think, like, oh, that killed her for sure. But then the smoke clears just a couple seconds later, and she's still standing there heaving, staring daggers at Gij now.
I want to do one more thing. And once Gij sees that, he shouts, Connor, give me shields.
Okay. A moment. Actually, no, that has to be your bonus action, and you need bonus action to plant.
Oh, shoot. Okay, never mind then. I'll do it on the next turn.
Okay. Houndmaster's dead. Manticore is cowering. The kobold turns on Sariel and begins chomp, chomp, chomping.
Oh my god. Now she's down.
Add one death save. I mean, one death failure, Sariel, and take an additional 9 damage. It is Zombie's turn. Zombie is going to hassle Dupe as he is on the ground. Dupe, add a death failure and take 9 additional damage. And now it's your turn, Dupe, so make a traditional old death save. 10 and above means you get a success, and 9 and below means you get a failure. Add a second death failure, as you rolled a 6.
Yeah, Dupe's gonna die.
Oh no, Syed.
Galena, stabilize him.
Don't waste the time.
I can't until my turn.
You know practical medicine, that's not magic.
I can't until it's my turn.
Oh, sorry, you sent your turn, okay.
Save someone more useful.
It is the Empress's turn. She looks around for a moment, looks at you, Gij, looks at Eden over there, barely standing, smiles, disapparates again, appears behind Eden, and makes a touch attack.
No!
A 24 hits, and you take 19 bludgeoning damage and 22 radiant.
Okay, bye. Like actually, bye. I'm dying.
God damn it.
So, Eden, you are now at negative 35. If anybody gets above their max health, they are dead.
What's your max health?
79.
Okay.
Eden, it is your turn. As you collapse, as she appears behind you and just sort of shoves you forward, feels like the life itself drains from your body, and you slam down on the ground. Make a death save.
How I does this?
Roll a d20 by itself, 9 and above. You can also click on the death save area in your character sheet.
Oh, well, I rolled a 19.
Nice. Click one success on that. Galena, you're up. Now it's only you and Gij, and a zombie, and the Empress Aramane.
And her turn is over, so you can heal people. It was for one turn. It's been one turn.
Yep.
Where heals is Eden? Are now available.
Eden over is there. Right in front of the Empress Aramane. She just got behind her and pooshed her.
Wait, what's happened to Sariel?
You and I
are Sariel is being gnawed on by a dog, by a kobold. It is shaking her leg. Arr.
Okay, so I can use my healing word. Like 2 seconds ago, I just had to worry about one person to heal. Now I gotta go around healing all of these people. I can't use my regular medical knowledge in a fight, right?
Yeah, you can use your healing kit as an action.
I think it's what, okay. 10 medicine to stabilize?
For her, she automatically stabilizes and
there you go.
Heals 1d10 plus something by using medical supplies.
So I'm going to use healing word on... if I go over there... Okay. How bad was... now I have to decide between Sariel and Eden.
What you're doing right now makes sense is to pick up Dupe and then get Sariel because Sariel's a strong healer. So if you want to stabilize her... That would, and I think her health is actually super low, so that would make sense to do.
Okay, so I cast Healing Word on Dupe for 8.
Okay, Dupe is still negative, but he is stable. Alas, he still has a zombie chewing on him.
Oh, God damn it. Right after she casts Healing Word, she's going to say, Gij, what's your next move?
Stabilize whoever you don't get.
Okay, got it. You're better at fighting, so I'm going to... run over to Sariel, and I'll deal with the zombie later, and use my healing kit on her.
I don't think you can make it. It's too far away.
God damn it.
Across rough terrain as well.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to stab the freak zombie.
You're going to stab the zombie?
Yes.
Okay, stab the zombie.
15 with my cane sword.
15 hits.
I'm surprised that wall one didn't kill it sooner.
Yeah, the zombie's going to make another strength save, because I think its turn has passed. You deal... 4 piercing damage. It doesn't seem to care about the poison. And you see that it's being bludgeoned about by the wind quite a bit, but it still seems to be doing all right.
Okay.
The storm sphere ends, however, as Eden has been knocked unconscious.
Okay, so is my move towards the zombie the only move I can make, or can I move the rest of my move?
You can move away from the zombie, but you will provoke an opportunity attack. But yes, you have more move. You have 15 more feet.
Wait, did Eden use my bardic inspiration by any chance?
No, she got knocked
unconscious.
Out first.
Oh, okay. I'll evoke an opportunity attack. I'm going to move 10 feet towards Sariel.
Okay. Zombie swings at you, hits with an 18, and deals 6 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
All right, Geesh, you're up.
You see me running towards Sariel.
Okay. Man, she is one-shotting us, and I don't think Glenn and I can out-heal this. I hope we don't all die, but I think I'm just going to rush her. I mushroom to Connor. Connor, I need a shield over here.
Okay. You see a man step up onto a roof into a visible position, do some arcane gestures, and point at you. And you feel a sort of slick presence around you, Geesh. But Connor immediately goes back to dodging some diving manticores.
I would like to propose a thing to you as a bonus, though it's kind of an action. May I use my rope to grab Dupe's hammer and rush her?
You've used your bonus action to get the shield.
Oh, a call for
you
okay.
Do that.
So I'm just going to rush her.
Or command rope.
All right. I guess I'm going to rush her.
Go for it.
Geesh will rush at her, and both of those will be precision attacks.
Remember, you only use precision if you think you're going to miss.
Oh, okay. Well, let's try that. So we'll do the first one.
Mm-hmm.
17. I'm going to use precision because do I know from the past if her AC is higher than that?
I don't know. If you were paying attention, you can tell. Do you want to risk it?
No, I'm going to use precision.
Okay.
And then precision attack is 1d8 plus 2. That makes it a 21.
That hits.
And the next one?
You don't need to do a next one.
Okay.
You rush the Empress, sword flashing up in front of you, and it drives deep into her chest.
I want to say that as I do that, I throw my entire weight forward, and she just crumples over, and I'm on top of her, and I have my sword driven into her chest.
Cool.
As the Empress falls back, sword impaled, Geesh atop her, we will wrap for the evening.
Oh, boy.
Our heroes are no longer caught between a rock and an eldritch demigoddess. But even now, their lives hang in the balance. Can they save their fallen friends before the raven comes for them? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.
What is your health, Ariel? Winter.
Negative 40?
40?
Yeah, she smacked her.
Negative 48.
Jesus. I'm surprised I'm not dead.
My max is 78, so I'm not f***ed just yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, there's only two.
You're
more
all
monsters.
F***ed.
There's only two. No, there's only two more monsters on the field.
God damn it! You guys are gonna kill the kobold. I wanted that.
Because he's killing you. He's literally killing you.
No, he's precious.
He's eating you.
He's a good boy. He didn't know better.
What?
Oh. I have an idea.
He's literally doing to you what a cat does to the old lady who dies that takes care of it.
So precious.
He's moments from eating your eyeballs. But what do I know? I'm a stone monster now.
So Sariel's carrying an item.
Yeah, we know.
Okay. Oh, yeah! Sorry, I was very loud. I'm going to use that on you.
No, I'm not actually dead yet.
Nope, I'm going to use it on you.
No.
But I'm not dead.
You don't even know it does
that. I'm not dead yet.
I'm getting better.
I'm feeling better. I feel
okay,
happy.
Well,
a dragon f***ing ate me, James. You understand? A dragon f***ing ate me. My clothes are gone and I'm bald.
It just
and I'm not
lightly
human
chewed
anymore.
And swished you around like a fine
I'm
wine.
Not f***ing human anymore, James. I don't even know if Saloon's okay with this. I'm just going to kill everything now. I don't know where this puts my alignment. But everyone's getting blade.
Oh, already changed my alignment from good to neutral because of everything that's been happening.
It's just everyone's getting sore today. Everyone's getting it. I don't care. You're on my side? No, well, you're going to get cut. There goes your head. Say goodbye to your body.
Just imagine, like, Geesh running around just saying this, like, stabbing random corpses and just saying, talking to them, and Galena just like, stop.
Yeah.
I imagine it in exactly this tone, just, like, irritable and kind of passive-aggressive. Yep. Just, like...
Yeah, like, yeah. He's kind of about to lost his mind. Like, so I need to understand, am I now, like, obsidian? Am I, like, all black stone?
Obsidian is like, at least. Not tail. So obsidian is glass. You don't want to be obsidian, you'll just shatter.
I think you might be shale, yeah.
So I look like a f***ing demon running around this field made of black stone, killing things.
Mm-hmm.
Geesh is a beast now.
Apparently. So I can talk to dragons, right, James?
Mm-hmm. You can speak Draconic now.
I was gonna say, I better at least get to speak some f***ing Draconic, because this is some bullshit.
Oh my god, you can yell at the murder puppy to just stop.
Oh, I can.
y'all are killing me. There have been like 3 people that could just get us a small army of murder puppies.
There are always a lot of things I feel like you could do.
Yeah.
And then there's what you do.
I'm not allowed to complain ever because I basically skipped like 2 of my turns this game. I'll move a thing and I'm done.
That made me so like, not mad, but I was just like, oh my god, they're gonna die.
I was like anticipating something like that happening today.
I think I became a butcher in this fight.
Yeah, you killed the harmless enemy.
Ooh, Lawgiver?
No. Lawgiver was very dangerous.
Do you know what any spaghetti confetti? Do you know what any spaghetti confetti? Do you know what any spaghetti confetti?